talk about what's on borough business, what's going on in Petersburg, and there's a lot of talk about the neighboring community of Cake these days, because there's a couple studies going on about possible road and ferry connections, as well as a possible inner tie and electrical transmission line that could be going across the island of Kuprinov and connecting Petersburg and Cake together. And I wanted to dive into that issue. Mark, I think you went to a steering committee meeting of the Cake-Petersburg intertie recently. Can you give an update on how that went and what happened there? And
It was well attended. There was the mayor of Juneau was there, and myself, and people from Jody Mitchell from IPEC, Mark Shinman, who will be with us this evening from Commonwealth, who's hired by SEPA to help do the design on the Cake intertie, and they also worked on the Swan Tie intertie. He'll be there tonight, and then Andy Hughes from DOT. I thought it'd be a good idea to get these people here, and it was too bad that we didn't have, I think, Mike Travis from Federal Highways come. And I thought it'd be good if they just presented to the assembly all the different views on this project. So I think there's a little bit of confusion, and so that'll be good. They're just going to give a little presentation. It's not going to be a question and answer thing. I think if the assembly members have a question or two, that'd be fine. But otherwise, it could drag on for hours.
Just kind of a status update on where all those studies are and what's happening with them?
Pretty much. And I know the power line EIS is ahead of the road EIS by about a year, from what I understand. And they're not doing them together, but if you read... I think I was reading online about this. It was a DOT website. They are going to be connected. I mean, they're going to be related, obviously, if one's going to be a road for the power line access. So we'll see how it goes this evening, and it's a multiple-year thing ahead of us to see how it shakes out, the EIS and everything.
And I guess that's the big question, is why these studies can't be mushed into one and done at the same time, because the projects are so intertwined, it seems like.
Yeah, that was brought up by Assembly Member Logadakis, and it's one of her concerns. Talking with the CEO of SEPA, he thinks it would slow down the power line process if you linked them together, and it makes sense if it's an eight-year total NEPA process with the project potentially going up 10% a year. You know, if it's a $100 million project now, 10 years from now, it's going to be a $200 million project, so even... less of a chance for getting constructed, I would think.
Yeah. Nancy, anything you'd like to hear out of the officials who are going to be talking tonight on those studies?
I'd just like to be clearer on what is happening. It seems like if it winds up being a $200 million expenditure, they could spend that money finding alternative power around Cake without building the power line.
That's been discussed. They're actually one of the younger gentlemen that's involved in Cake politics, and I can't remember his name now. He's looking at a little stream near Cake, but it's, you're going to get maybe a megawatt of power out of it. And if you want Cake to have the ability for any industry in the future, I think they're going to need something more than tidal or wind energy or something like that. I think they're going to need a good supply of hydro if they want to get their coal storage up to speed. They burned a 1,000 gallons of fuel, or was it? It was a lot of fuel in one day just to keep their coal storage
right.
going.
They definitely need power. But when we first started talking about this, we had hopes of developing Thomas Bay, and then we would have had extra power to send over there, which apparently isn't going to be happening anytime soon here.
Well, and I think the Southeast Alaska Power Agency is starting to look at new sources of power, and has I think there's a big appropriation they decided to make to fund a study of where new power would come from, if I'm getting that right.
Yeah, they had a call for power, and they've been getting replies back to that. And as we're what's going on right now is Matt LaCatla is looking at being interconnected with the Swan to, or Ketchikan to Petersburg intertie, and they could dedicate power, and they're working on a memorandum of agreement with that, so Cake would have dedicated power. But I mean, we've got quite a few years before we have to.
Well, if this informational presentation tonight clarifies some of that, I'll be delighted.
Yeah, well, hopefully it does. I guess that's why I asked them to come to town.
So. Cake and Kuprinov officials have been invited to attend, either in person or by phone, or.
Yeah, when we haven't, as I heard this morning from the borough clerk, that we haven't heard from Cake yet, but Mayor Tinas from Kuprnov can't make it, apparently, but she was hoping someone else from the council can, or from Kuprnov can, so it'd be nice if someone was there to listen in.
All right. Well, that'll be one topic of discussion tonight. Another one will be on herbicide use and the Petersburg Borough's letter to the Department of Transportation about possible herbicide use along state roadways and at airports. And a draft letter in response to that response that basically says you're not happy with that response. It wasn't responsive enough. It didn't address the concerns. Thoughts on that draft letter, which basically says the borough assembly might look at doing an ordinance if this is still a possibility for herbicide use along the roadways. Mark, what do you think of that draft letter? Is that something you look at?
I liked it, all of it, except for the one sentence in the next to the last paragraph. It states that the public awareness of the use of these herbicides in or near Alaskan waters will definitely have a negative impact on the public's willingness to buy and consume Alaska seafoods. I'd like to see the "will definitely" be taken out to maybe "could have an impact" or something like that. But the rest of it, I think, gets the point across that we'd like to have more say in what they spray around our area that can affect berry pickers and salmon streams and everything else with, you know, out public input.
Nancy?
It's also heartening to see that other communities are signing on. We were a lonely voice in the wilderness at first, and now other areas in southeastern, at least, are speaking up, so the support is wonderful.
So send another letter out, and if that doesn't get a response or the right response, look at an ordinance in the future, and that would be looking at prohibiting widespread or large-scale spraying of herbicide. And I guess then the question becomes whether that has any teeth and whether that can be enforced in the borough of Petersburg or not.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I think I don't know the laws, but someone made a comment in the last meeting that the state actually has more jurisdiction over the area, so it'd be interesting to see. But an ordinance would be another step in that direction just to show our opposition to it, I would think.
Okay. Any other thoughts on herbicide spraying?
No. The additional support is welcome.
Okay. Sales tax free day. There's another request to have a sales tax free day October 5th from the Chamber of Commerce Retail Committee. Is this something the borough can afford to do?
I'm not sure I'm in favor of it. I'll, of course, be willing to consider it, but I don't know if we can afford it at this time.
And Mark?
Yeah, it'd be nice to, like Nancy's concern, about what it really costs. You know, the comes out of the general fund revenue, so, I mean, you'd have to make it up somewhere. Be interesting. Hopefully the chamber will be there tonight with their side of the story, and at least they're giving us more time. Last time they brought it up, I believe,
three days before
the meeting,
like
so
that, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of, and I can't remember the timing, but yeah, we'll see. I know we've done one or two in the past. I know one for sure.
Right, and we still don't have any figures from the retail merchants how it increased their sales. We have from Jody, I think, figures about how much sales tax, an estimate, but
it'd be nice to see the numbers.
Yep.
Yeah. Be important.
I remember a figure of $20,000 to $30,000 an estimated
$26,000, something like that.
That this costs in lost revenue for a day without sales tax, mm-hmm. or something, if I'm remembering right. And yeah, maybe we'll hear more about that tonight. But
it'll be a discussed topic, I'm sure.
There was no sales tax free day in the spring, was there? Or did you?
No.
Okay. So this would be the first this calendar year here.
Right. And it is an ordinance. When would we do that? I can't remember. It's on the sheet.
And the resolution that allowed it says we may declare them. It doesn't say we have to.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah. So it's a twice a year discussion for the assembly, and we'll hear more about that tonight. Also up for discussion is whether to continue local advisory boards and commissions. This is part of the borough charter. Within a year's time of that charter going into effect, you actually have to act, or all those advisory boards and commissions that are in town go away. But most of them say they want to stick around, these boards and commissions. Do you think that's a good idea, and do you think you're going to act within the time? I think you have a deadline of, what, January of 2014 to pass an ordinance to continue those. And
I think we can get that taken care of by January.
I think so, and let me find it here.
The only board that's not currently active is the Historical Review, which I'm trying to find out what they did. And then we're going to do away, apparently, with the Finance Committee, which, and just meet as in a work session if it needs.
Yeah, the budget gets gone over quite a few times before it's actually adopted.
Ad nauseum.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's, is that in its second reading?
Second reading for that one.
For the Finance Department, so it more than likely will go away. It was unanimous by the Assembly, the first reading. What's it say here? We have until... Oh, they're talking about a public hearing at the first meeting in April to allow any public comment on the issue. So this is just an idea to which ones we want. I know there was one Assembly member that didn't feel strong about keeping the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, but you know, I think it's important for parents of kids involved in the sports and stuff around town to have an active role in, you know, what happens in our gym facilities and stuff to help the kids out with their programs.
Well, it's not just kids either. There's fair number of older folks older than children who use the recreational facilities. Not even just the gym, but all the parks and.
Yep.
Right, and if whichever advisory board goes away, these issues are going to be brought to the Assembly level and they're going to be discussed. Then it's nice to have an advisory board discuss it and go over it. And we get their, request or what they'd like to see happen.
It's a more informal way for the public to make their ideas known.
And it gets you, the public, input without having another work session for the Borough Assembly. Most of the boards and commissions that weighed in said they wanted to remain elected versus appointed, which has, I think, the public sentiment has weighed that way in the past. Of course, the next election isn't up until 2014, so... But we'll hear more about that discussion tonight, about keeping those going. Mark, you mentioned the Finance Committee. Just clarify, too, those are just Borough Assembly members or past City Council members that make up that Finance Committee. So that's not
a separate
committee that's elected or anything. A new ordinance up for consideration is a lot of the nuts and bolts about the borough seal and how resolutions are passed, how ordinances are passed, and what all that means. It's a lot of language stuff. Anything that sticks out in your review of this ordinance that's up for consideration?
It's not really.
A lot of the details of starting up a new borough government.
Mostly housekeeping.
Okay.
Another thing, that the letter that we sent to Nash Marine Fisheries Service about the sea lion issue.
Right.
To James Balsinger. We sent a letter back. We didn't really like the response. They asked us to basically clean all the sea lions sent off the airplane dock and then fence it in. And it sounded like you couldn't even have a fish laying on the dock because you were enticing the sea lions. So anyway, his assistant, John Curlin, called, and he wants to come down and look at the situation. And it sounds like they're concerned, so hopefully we could get some help in getting rid of the, you know, I feel they're dangerous, a few of them are.
And that dock is a state-owned, I think DOT owns that. So that would be a state issue, whether they could clean it off and fence it off and all that.
Yeah.
So that could happen sometime in the near future. We'll hear from that NOAA official. You also sent a letter about Coast Guard cutters, and you got a response back from a staffer for Mark Begich, Senator Mark Begich, about the Anacapa and its future in Petersburg. He basically said it's not going anywhere anytime soon, but appreciated the comments on keeping it in Petersburg. I think the community needs to do more to keep that in town or get... a boat long-term to replace that 110-foot cutter here in town?
I think we need to stay on top of this. This is something we need to stay on top of.
Definitely. I mean, 53 people, I believe, are associated with that ship being in town. You know, there's kids in school and people in the workforce, and it'd be a shame to see that go away for the community, I would think.
Well, they've saved many, many lives.
Yep.
We all lost someone we loved before we had the Anacapa.
So they're you know, there's some people that would rather they weren't here, but I feel that it's it's nice to have them here. I mean, we're centrally located in Southeast. It's a good place to respond from, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully they're right, and it'll be here for many years.
Okay. Anything else on the agenda or borough business that you think people should know about?
Not really. It should be a pretty cut-and-dried meeting. Actually,
work Southeast session reminder with the hospital board and the borough assembly, August 22nd at 9 a.m., that, if somebody's interested, might be a delightful way to spend
that hour. Yeah, it's open to the public, Thursday
morning, and kind of talking about hospital finances and
the involvement of the borough government helping them and with their finances. So it'll be it's going to be an ongoing discussion, I think. I don't think it's going to be cut and dried in one little work session. Mm-hmm. And then on September 4th, there's a hearing in Juneau. District or Superior Court Judge Menendez is going to hear from Boundary Commission, the Juneau Borough, and the Petersburg Borough on the boundary dispute or the appeal or by Juneau. So
the northern boundary of the borough. And
yeah, I'm going to go up and sit in on that. It's going to be kind of a short thing, but it'll be interesting. I mean, a lot's going to have to change if, you know, the boundary gets turned over.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. All right. Well, I think that covers it. Thank you both for coming in tonight, unless we're missing anything important. The Borough Assembly meets at 7 o'clock tonight. You can hear it live on KFSK. Coming up next, we'll hear Street Beat Music. Lars Christensen is your host.